السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praises are Allah's, Lord of the worlds. And may His peace and blessings be upon our Master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and His pure Immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. InshaAllah, we'll continue with our discussions on Sufism tomorrow, but tonight I wanted to speak a few words on the status of Lady Fatima alayhi salam. I want to go through two or three underlying principles, that if we understand these principles, we will understand the status more, rather than just going and encountering the stories of this grand lady at a superficial level. Because if we treat stories superficially, they'll just come and go, and it won't have the necessary effect upon our souls as they're meant to. We have traditions that say, whoever gets to know Fatima alayhi salam will get to know what Laylatul Qadr is. It's a grand statement. This has to be opened up, has to be explored. Our route to Laylatul Qadr, we have to see what it is. Now, inshallah, with these two or three principles, we can get a bit closer, inshallah. The story of Lady Fatima alayhi salam is the story of man. It's the story of the soul. It's the story of what we are. It's the story of who I am. It's the story of what we can become. And this is the case with all stories in the Holy Quran, and all stories of the Imams, and all stories of the Prophets. All these stories of these noble people, it's the story of you. It's the story of the soul. What it can do, what it can be. And that's why they're there. So we evaluate ourselves. We can also be like that. It's the story of man. The story of Prophet Ibrahim is indicating we, man, has an Ibrahimi dimension. We can also become like that. Prophet Isa, we have an Isawi dimension. Prophet Saleh, we have a Salehi dimension. It's all the story of man. Also, when the Pharaoh is mentioned, we can become Pharaoh-like. We have that potential too. But these are all dimensions of the soul. In the story of Ashura, although no one negates what happened many years ago, it's a truth, it's a reality, it was a massacre. But if we just look at it as a massacre and cry, although it's of a lot of benefit, but we've lost the plot. Because the characters there also, it's the story of the soul. We have a Qasimi dimension. To attain to the status of saying Ahlo min al-Asal to death. We have an Abbasi dimension. We have a Zainabi dimension. It's all elaborating on what man is, who man is, what we can become. And the Urafa look at all these stories and as man's capacity. Even things like when we see in the Quran, the earth, on speaks of animals, mountains, seas, earthquakes. There's a superficial understanding, no one's denying that, but even the earthquake, the sky, the earth, all these are dimensions of man. The story of Ibrahim and the four birds, those four birds are dimensions of man, each one having vice attributed to each bird. We have to kill the vice within us. We also have to undergo an earthquake within us. These are all dimensions of the soul. We have to wake up. The Quran speaks of wars. That's one reality. The Urafa'a go deeper also, in addition to the superficial external understanding. Speaks of having a war with the nafs, eliminating the ego. The Quran speaks of barzakh, qiyamah, the grave, angels, the book of actions. The Urafa speak of, you are the grave, you are heaven, you are qiyamah, you are the book of actions. None of these are outside you. These are all functions of the soul. Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh, in one of his works, he says, the heavenly person will not be taken to heaven. Heaven isn't something outside you, separate to you. Rather, the heavenly person will become heaven. It's a dimension of the soul. The hell person will not be taken to hell. Rather, the hell person will himself become hell. These are all dimensions of the soul. Heaven and hell are eternal. Why? Because the soul is eternal. So if we limit our understandings to the physical dimension, we'll just be wasting ourselves. There are many innumerable dimensions at play here, which are significant in relation to the elevation of the soul. Now that's why the Imams, the Ma'sumin, they are examples. Because they're examples of what we can maximally become. That's why they are to be followed. Because that's what we can become. We have that capacity. Now being an example, the word example in the Holy Quran, the word uses uswa. I just want to very briefly analyze this concept of the uswa so that we go step by step before we come to the conclusion, inshallah. Chapter 33, verse 21, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Verily, in the Messenger of Allah, there's for you a good example or exemplar. Why is the Holy Prophet, the person of the Holy Messenger, why is he a good example? We've spoken about that two lectures ago. That fattabi'uni, we spoke that why the Holy Prophet was a good example. That rational analysis in relation to ismat, infallibility. For those who had paid attention to that lecture, they would acknowledge why there can't be a 13th Imam. It had to be 12. There could be no Imam after the 12th Imam. Anyway, in the Messenger of Allah, there's a good example for everyone to follow, a model. Chapter 60, verse 4. We want to analyze this concept of uswa. Qad kanat lakum. You see, it's always lakum. It's always the preposition lam. Remember, فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا. That lam of unity, the irfan of the Quran is hidden in the prepositions. Archangel Gabriel appeared in unity with Maryam. It was a product of the soul. ليس للإنسان للإنسان إلا ما سعى. In unity with man is there's nothing save one's actions. You are your actions. للإنسان. The messenger of Allah is for you, in unity with you. Is a good example. You can acquire that. So in chapter 60, verse 4, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ. So there's a good example for you in Ibrahim عليه السلام. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. Another preposition. And those with Ibrahim. What does it mean to be with a ma'soom? When is someone with a ma'soom? It's definitely not just being physically with them. Otherwise, many of the munafiqeen were physically in juxtaposition with the imams and so on and so forth. See, these have to be explored. Chapter 60, again, verse 6. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِيهِمْ. In Prophet Ibrahim and those with him, there is for you أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, a good example. For who are they a good example? لِمَنْ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. For those who have hope in Allah and the last day. So here the verse is now saying, in order for you to appreciate that they are uswa and a good example, prerequisites that you need to acquire is having always hope in Allah and the last day. But it says, leman, for those who, yarujullah. Here the relative noun, man, is open to, it qualifies both for male and female. Ibrahim was male. He's a uswa, he's a good example for those who, be they male or female, have hope in Allah and the last day. So he's a model for females too. So we have a male prophet who is a model for males and females. And also our Holy Messenger, a model for males and females. Now two questions have to be answered here. When is someone with the Uswa, with the Prophet, when do they qualify as being with them? And also, can females be models for both men and women? If so, how? In relation to the first question, when is someone with the Prophet? See, this now applies to me and you today. As long as we just open the code. We have a concept in the Holy Quran that is termed al, which means progeny. And we all want to qualify as the progeny of the Holy Prophet. Being part of the progeny of the Holy Prophet is open to everyone, male or female. But it depends how we understand the term progeny. Here the Quran opens it up. First of all, there's a type of progeny which is family orientated. It's a biological type. And the progeny of our Holy Messenger, in addition to including Lady Fatima alayhi salam, Hassan Hussein alayhi salam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, also included people like Abu Lahab, because they were also the family of the Holy Prophet. So that can't be of value, that familial type of progeny. However, there's a spiritual progeny, and that's of value. قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إنه ليس من أهلك، إنه عمل غير صالح. Oh Noah, Allah is saying, your son isn't part of your family. Ahl and al are the same meaning here. His non-righteous actions. This non-righteous actions is a code to say what you have to do to be part of that spiritual al or ahl of the Holy Prophet. In one prophetic tradition, the Holy Messenger says, Kullu taqiyyin wa naqiyyin ali. Those who have taqwa and purity, they are my family. They are my all. Now here, Abu Lahab goes out of the equation all of a sudden. Many go out of the equation, those who were biologically related. They go out of this equation. Salmon, though, enters the equation. Salmono menna ahlan bayt. Because he was taqi and he was naqi, pure, with taqwa. He was part of the Ahlul Bayt. Salmon was a uswa as a result of being part of the al of the Holy Messenger. We too can become uswa. We too can become with the Prophet. There's access for us too. The potential is there. Now those who become part of that spiritual progeny, there are many who have the capacity and who have acquired the capacity. However, there are degrees. Some are of a higher degree than others. Those who are at the top, they are described in the verse of the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. اللهم صل على محمد. Allah wants to dispel, to eliminate all forms of impurity, rijs. Ibn Arabi says this rijs is whatever lowers to whatever degree one's character. Here, this is the definition of ismat. All Sunni, major authoritative Sunni commentaries of the Quran say who these people were. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Lady Fatima alayhi salam, Imams Hassan, Hussein alayhi salam, and the Holy Messenger. So we have to fit in that prophetic code of being taqi and naqi to be part of that spiritual progeny. If that happens, we are with them. If someone becomes with them, they become an uswa. And if we don't, they would be an uswa for us, even today. Even though the Holy Messenger isn't with us in the flesh, he may have many examples with us in the flesh. The next question is, can a female example be a model to men and women? And if so, how? Here we go to the Quran again, chapter 66, verse 11. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِمْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. Allah gives as an example for those who believe. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Here the relative noun لِلَّذِينَ includes male and female. It doesn't say لِلَّاتِ آمَن. The wife of Fir'aun is an example that Allah has given لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. For those, be it male or female, the Arabic relative noun covers both. If it would have said lillati aman, it would have only been specific for females. Allah gives the example of the wife of Fir'aun for those who have faith, be they believers or male believers or female. And I was giving an example of what she used to do, the wife of Pharaoh. Recall, إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّبْنِي لِي بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. She said, oh, my Lord, build me a house in heaven. وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ. Deliver me from the Pharaoh and his actions. وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Deliver me from the wrongdoing people. The next verse, in conjunction with إِمْرَأَةِ فِرْعَوْنَ, who Allah has given as an example, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, to those of faith, in conjunction to إِمْرَأَةِ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَرْيَمَ, and the Lady Maryam, Ibnata Imran. And then it goes into her qualities, what she did. So here we see two women who are models, who are examples, who are mathal for men and women who are believers. So women too can be models for women and men. Now, what's the wisdom behind this, that women can be models for women and men? Here the Urafa have gone into detail here. First of all praises and all attributes in the verses of the Quran, they're not directed to men alone. Praises in the Holy Quran are always attributed to both men and women. That's one point.